Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, Project Zion listeners. This is Brittany Mangelson, and today we are going to be continuing our Holy Grounds series where we talk about spiritual practices. And I'm really excited about the conversation today. We have on my friend Kevin Harper, who lives in Arizona, and he is going to be walking us through one of his favorite spiritual practices. And so, Kevin, I am really excited to have you on the podcast. So thanks for saying yes.
Well, you're welcome. And thank you for having me. And I feel honored to be asked.
So, Kevin, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit to our listeners? Let's help them get to know you a little bit better.
Sure. Well, I live in Anthem, Arizona, which is about 20 minutes north of the Phoenix metropolitan area. And I was actually born in Woodbine, Iowa, which is near the Council Bluffs, Iowa area. And I've always been Community of Christ. Several branches of my family tree go back to the 1830s. Even in upstate New York, and so my history goes back, you know, pretty much to the beginning. And then, you know, after the death of the Smith brothers, my family pretty much all stayed in Western Iowa and joined the reorganization in the 1860s. One of my great-great-great-grandfathers was the first pastor at Gallons Grove in Shelby County, Iowa, which is about 20 miles from where I was born. So again, my family is really rooted in that part of the country. And I'm a co-pastor at Thunderbird West Congregation in Glendale, Arizona. I serve on the board of directors for Whispering Pines Campground and also am lucky enough to serve on the board of directors for the Community of Christ Historic Sites Foundation. My wife, Robin, and I are raising two children, Sedona, who will be 12 in July, and Harrison, who is 8. And Harrison has chosen to be baptized this summer at reunion at Whispering Pines. And this is where his sister was baptized just a couple of years ago, when just pretty much at her 10th birthday. So kind of Whispering Pines is a pretty special place. When I was 13, we moved from Iowa to Whispering Pines. So I grew up right there on the church campground. So then went back to Graceland, you know, for my college years, and then ended up back in Arizona to start my career and meet Robin and raise a family.
Nice. And I love that now Whispering Pines is still such a part of your continued story, and you're bringing your kids into the church through that campground. I think that's really special. So we're talking about spiritual practices, and I'm curious, what spiritual practice do you use to best connect with the divine, and how do you incorporate that into your life?
Well, without a doubt, it's nature gazing and praising, and that's what it's called in the Community of Christ website, the list of spiritual practices. I didn't even know it was called that. So, and it's something that I've been doing my whole life practically, and just recently has been given a name for me. So, and I've always just known that being in nature always gives me the sense of being in the presence of God. And I like to think for the same reasons that Jesus was in nature so often. You know, being in the sacredness of creation provides opportunities, you know, to just listen in the silence, to meditate, and just observe your surroundings and know that everything around you, you know, is God's and was created by God.
I actually didn't realize that it was named Nature Gazing and Praising on the church website either. I don't actually think that I've gone over there to look at all the spiritual practices listed. So now I'm curious about it, and we'll be sure to put that in the show notes of this episode. So being in nature, what does that look like for you in your daily life? What does it look like?
Well, sometimes I like to be in nature with large groups, like at camps or at reunions, sometimes small groups with, friends and sometimes even just with my family. And that's primarily where I spend most of my time in nature, is with my family. But sometimes I love to be completely alone. And the common denominator through all of that is God is always there. But the beauty of it is that you can do it daily, whether it's a walk around your neighborhood or through a park, or, even if you're have impaired mobility, you can sit in front of a window and watch the birds, watch the wildlife, depending on where you're at, but set up a bird feeder or a hummingbird feeder and just watch and it's really, really fun to do that. And, a lot of people probably engage in this spiritual practice without even knowing that it is a spiritual practice. But any time that you can get outside, hiking or backpacking, camping, skiing. I know you guys ski up where you live. Kayaking, mountain biking, anything to get you outside is a spiritual practice or can be a spiritual practice. And just being outdoors always gives me the sense of being, being in the creation and in the sacredness of creation.
Yeah, I feel like in today's world, where we kind of thrive in being busy, we pride ourselves in being busy, and there's so many distractions and ways that our attention can be pulled. But when you're in nature, I feel like you are more intentional with your time. If you're not plugged into the news or what's on Facebook or what's on Twitter, all the things that we could be doing to clean our house or whatever it may be, all the distractions that we have, there are distractions in nature, don't get me wrong, but you're intentional about it. And that's what you're going to discover, is those distractions, those hikes, or like you said, a hummingbird, or the sound of running water, or whatever it may be. I feel like that's a really intentional way to use your time, to kind of break between the everyday hustle and bustle of life. So that's really, really beautiful.
Yeah. And nature is a very accepting and inclusive place. It's never going to reject you. It's never going to judge you. And it's just a place for me that, I can let my mind clear, settle my emotions, what's going on in my daily life, and just kind of let everything fall away if that's what needs to happen. And it's very healing for me to be out in nature.
Yeah, I agree with that. Whenever we get a chance to head down to Moab, southern Utah, and you don't have to travel to be in nature generally, but that's kind of the place where anytime I go back there, I'm reminded, okay, this is life. This is the rhythm that I want to have. This is the steadiness. This is the pace that I want to go at. It kind of brings me in and regroups me a little bit.
Right. And everybody's going to have their favorite places in nature. And, I love the the Moab area and southern Utah. But I also love the Midwest and the trees and the grass and the green. There's the misconception where, you have to have the Rocky Mountains to have that awe-inspiring moment, that mountaintop experience. And it's not that way. You can, walk around a pond or a lake or, take a walk through the prairie, the prairie grasses and wildflowers of the Midwest. And, it's really anywhere that you are.
I even remember when we went to New York in high school. I went with my dance team and we spent about a week there. We were just a bunch of punk teenagers from Utah. But the change of scenery was a new kind of nature. I mean, here I was from this relatively small town in Utah and going to the big city, the Big Apple, and it was just this concrete jungle that was so mesmerizing. But in and of itself, I mean, that's a form of creation. I just want to point out that it doesn't have to be necessarily, some outdoors thing in a mountain or at a river or a pond. But even in the hustle and bustle of everyday life, if you are in a big city, just walking the neighborhood can be a spiritual practice with creation. I really appreciate that there's so much diversity with the spiritual practice. Like you said, you don't have to have the Rocky Mountains. You don't have to have some big national park to go to or whatever it may be, that it can really be found anywhere. What about like different times of the day or different seasons? Do you find diversity in that aspect of the spiritual practice?
Absolutely. You can hike anytime. Some of my favorite hikes have been in storms, where you see the movement of clouds. I remember one time being in the mountains of southern Arizona and a storm rolled through and the clouds were just rolling in so fast. And I was kind of at the peak of this little rise in the mountain, and I could just see the clouds coming in and just whipping up and over me. And then you're in fog, you're in the clouds. So, and I just remember that being such a spectacular event. Or one time I was in the Grand Canyon and, the only thing I can compare this to is if you're in an airplane, but when you're walking in a storm and lightning, you can see lightning strike below you, when you're on the ground. I mean, it's indescribable. So those have been some of my favorite hikes. And, as long as you're prepared for that kind of environment, it really is just an amazing experience. Even a moonlit hike, seeing the stars, stargazing, I know is a huge hobby for people. They may have different reasons as to why that is important to them. But again, that's just another great excuse to get out in nature, is to look at the stars. Really, you can do it any time of day, any weather. You've heard the saying, there's no bad weather, just bad clothing. And, I can kind of relate to that. So, and I've been stuck into some situations where I wish I had a few more layers. You just always have to be prepared.
So with that, what would be some tips that you would give to someone who is interested in getting involved in the sacredness of creation more and turning it into a spiritual practice?
It depends on what you'd like to do. Like I just said, just the preparation is really important. Just having the right gear, having the right clothing, knowing what kind of weather might be coming in, the topography of where you might be hiking or riding your bike. That's all important. Making sure that you know your physical limitations, and all of this plays into it. If you're not well prepared, whether you personally aren't prepared or the company that you've chosen to be with you haven't prepared well enough for them. But, sometimes in the future you want to go out again. Well, if they're ill-prepared and they have a miserable time, chances are highly unlikely you're not going to get to go and do it again. So always study ahead, make sure you know all those things I mentioned, and just make it a pleasant experience. If you're taking little kids, stop often, stop and kick some rocks, throw some rocks, not down the trail, or not onto somebody below you, but, make it fun for them, have snacks, so you want it to be pleasant for everybody so that they want to return and do it again. So.
Thanks for including the kids. That's what my next question was going to be, is as a dad of two relatively young kids, how have you been able to integrate this spiritual practice into your family? Do you feel like your kids are kind of taking on that nature? I just did an arm motion that nobody could see, but that enthusiasm for nature.
Oh yeah. They love getting out and hiking. We haven't done a lot of miles, just 2 or 3 miles. I think a five mile hike was kind of our max that we've done so far, but they enjoy it. And one of our a really good experience for all of us was when we did a backpacking trip. And we've done a few of them, but just a short 2-3 mile backpacking trip. And, if we're next to a river or in a canyon, they just make their own fun and throw rocks into the river and sticks and watch the stick, roll down the stream. And, it's a lot of fun for all of us.
That's really great. I know that being a mom of three young kids, I'm always trying to figure out how I can implement spiritual practices into our life. But sometimes I wonder, are the things that I'm doing, can they become spiritual practices? So we spend a lot of time outside. We've gone on hikes. We've, like I said, have gone, down to the arches and things like that. But to be intentional about presenting it as a spiritual practice, I think, is important and something that I haven't really done before. We just kind of hop in the car, drive up the canyon, go on a hike, go to the park, go do whatever, and it's not something that we do with that amount of intentionality. So I really appreciate just hearing everything that you're saying, because, you've listed a lot of things that might feel maybe mundane to people, but when approached with the right attitude and the right intention, I think that they can become a spiritual practice. So that's something that I need to do, not trying to make my family fit into the box of what I assume is a spiritual practice and have my own expectations on it, but just create the moment that what we're doing can be a spiritual practice.
Well, and they'll discover it on their own. You just lead them to the place and they will develop that just like they're developing, their theology, along the way. And, when you bring in your five senses and, smelling, the recent rain in the desert, or smelling a newly opened flower, tasting natural foods, watching the wildlife, listen for the wind blowing through the trees. Use all those five senses and you teach your kids about those. And You know, even looking at the details of a leaf, to me, is an act of worship. And, you know, if we can, you know, teach that to our kids and, you know, just let them explore and be little adventurers, you know, they love it. And like I said, they're going to develop their own take on what's important to them about being in creation.
So, Kevin, how would you say that this spiritual practice of being in nature and being intentional with creation, how does that change you? How has it changed you? Or even how has it changed you on a daily basis or on like a macro level in your life?
Well, I think it's very grounding, pun intended, just to listen to the rocks under your feet, you know, as you're hiking. And I've heard people call hiking prayer in motion. And like during Arizona reunion last year, I led a meditation hike every single morning where we didn't say a thing. We just walked quietly through the forest. And like I said earlier, it's just really healing to me to be able to hear the wind blowing through the trees and listening to the birds chirp. And but also, you know, there's lots of qualities for getting outside and exercising, just like any cardiovascular exercise. It's going to increase your cardiovascular health. It reduces stress, boosts immunity, even helps lift depression. Rob and I joke about loving to go to waterfalls and how it's our little dose of Prozac. You know, when we hear the sound of the water, you know, going over the canyon or into a pool, or feeling the spray from the waterfall, it's energizing and it just really lifts your mood.
I really appreciate that you, again, have brought multiple senses into this experience, which, again, ties back to intentionality. So,
and the benefits really are endless.
Yeah, physically, emotionally, mentally, spiritually.
Yeah. All of them are encompassed in being in nature and being with creation. And I think that there is a calming presence and an energizing presence and just a groundedness in it, a rootedness that really is kind of all-encompassing and very holistic in the way that you approach the world. So what about challenges? What do you find challenging about being in nature?
Well, you know, if you bite off a little more than you can chew, as far as choosing a hike, you know, so, it's only a 5-mile hike. We can do that. And, well, then you realize it's a really steep 5 miles all uphill and, you know, physically challenging. And once you are exhausted physically, then mentally you get exhausted and spiritually. But you know, you just kind of have to push through and get to safety. That's the most important thing. And maybe get a little nourishment on the trail. But, you know, also just the time to do it is challenging. You know, we mentioned about sitting in your favorite chair, watching out your picture window, you know, and we can do that. But finding the time to go kayaking or the time to take a nice hike or to go camping, car camping, you know, the challenge is really finding the time to do it. Everybody's competing for your time, and you know, you really have to take time out of your busy schedule to intentionally do it.
So, Kevin, let's, I guess, rewind the clock a little bit. And how were you first introduced to being in nature? Like, it sounds like you're a big nature enthusiast. So, and I have an idea of what your answer is going to be, but where did that enthusiasm come from? When do you first remember thinking, this is how I connect with the divine?
I'm positive that it happened in Iowa. I grew up on a farm, and, you know, of course, on a farm, you're just surrounded by nature. And we had a pond about a quarter mile away from our house. And at a very early age, I was walking back there by myself and fishing and skipping stones. And that's really where it started for me. And actually just being alone and doing that. Of course, I've always gone to Community of Christ reunions, and I grew up going to Guthrie Grove in Iowa. And I don't ever remember missing a reunion. And, you know, while I was growing up, and, you know, my parents thought that was just really important to get their kids to reunion. And I am so thankful that they did. And I know, you know, reunion's not the you know, cheapest thing in the world to do. You know, it can be kind of expensive to take your family there. But I remember my parents saying, you know, they can't afford not going to reunion. So that's kind of, I've really kind of adopted that, you know, with my own family. I want my kids there. I want them to establish, you know, their love for nature and reunion and the people that are there that are going to love them unconditionally. You know, I can't say enough about family camp and reunion, and now Sedona's old enough to go to, she's been to junior camp. Now she's moving on to junior high camp, and I'm just really thankful that she's excited about it and loves to go. And, you know, that's just been a really big part of my life. And, you know, really, you know, I don't think we can't afford not going to reunion, not taking them there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I was converted through the camping experience, and it makes me really excited that my kids are growing up with that. And my girls have several years of kids camp under their belts, and my little boy is about to go. And it's really exciting for me to see them come together with a larger body than just our congregation, and get to encounter community and God in these sacred spaces that we create, whether, yeah, it's exciting. So, Kevin, you did list the church website and the section of the church website that goes over the spiritual practice. And again, we'll be sure to link that in the show notes. But what other resources would you suggest people go to learn more?
Well, since hiking is kind of my favorite activity, and it's going to depend on what your favorite outdoor activity is, whether it's bird watching from your living room or mountain climbing or, you know, the more adventurous stuff. But since hiking is my activity, I just recommend getting a hiking book and going to your local bookstore, going to Amazon, and getting a hiking book and check out your area. Or, you know, if there's a place in nature that you've always wanted to go to, Yosemite or the Redwoods, or, you know, just go. And, Now, there, if you're just wanting like some more reading material or inspirational type of material, you know, you can go to the nature section in the bookstore. You know, there's all kinds of inspirational stories out there that can be just amazing teachers about nature and what you can find there. And one of my go-to books, a book that I've had a very long time, is called Hiking, The Ultimate Natural Prescription for Health and Wellness by Philip Ferranti. But it's a great resource on the physical, mental, and spiritual benefits of hiking. So, and again, just getting to your campground. You know, we have 40 plus campgrounds in North America alone. And so, you know, there's got to be a campground relatively close to you. Go to Reunion, send your kids to camp, send your grandkids, send your nieces and nephews, be a counselor, be on staff, and, you know, just really indulge in Community of Christ camping program. It's really phenomenal. We have amazing campgrounds in beautiful parts of the world. And so that's what I would recommend. I mean, our resources that we have within the church, our campgrounds.
And like you said, you probably don't have to look or go very far to find one. So Kevin, I just want to thank you for everything that you've shared so far. This has been, it's made me really reflect on my own relationship with nature and the divine and how I encounter God in outside. But I want to give you an opportunity to leave us with any other stories that you might have involving this practice.
Yeah, well, I remember, you know, years ago, I was with a group of Graceland friends, and we were hiking just a few miles of the Appalachian Trail. We were actually in North Carolina, real close to the Tennessee border, and we stopped at a place along this beautiful river, and I think the river was actually called Nantahala, and I don't know if that's the correct pronunciation, but along this river, there was the Nantahala Outdoor Center, just a retail shop and, you know, a nice place to eat lunch along the river. But I remember there was an advertisement, like a poster board advertising the Appalachian Trail Conference. And it must be an annual event. But there was a statement on that, or a quote on that advertisement. You know, of course, I'm in my early 20s, and for whatever reason, it just really made an impression on me, and I wrote it down. And I actually have that same piece of paper that I use as a bookmark in the book that I referenced earlier in our conversation. So I'll just read you that quote. It's remote for detachment, narrow for chosen company, winding for leisure, lonely for contemplation. The trail leads not merely north, south, east and west, but upwards to the body, mind, and soul. So that just really made an impact on me. I wrote it down. I read it every once in a while, and it does still mean a lot to me. So I thank you for letting me share that.
Yeah, thank you. That's really beautiful and kind of got at the heart of my awkward commentary in our conversation of what I was trying to say. So we should just leave it to the professionals and to you to do the hiking. So,
well, and I would like to say too, I noticed that Matt Parker in Calgary, Canada, was leading a hike. And that's another thing too, is, you know, get a group of people together and go for a hike. But it made me laugh when I saw Parker's event. I think he created an event on Facebook and he called it Restoration Ramble. I thought, well, what a great name. And I actually had led a hike a couple of years ago and I had called it Hike and Seek. So anyway, just, you know, kind of a fun, you know, play on words and to get a group of friends together and just get out there and do it.
Yeah. I think the need and the desire and the want and the interest is definitely there. Again, because we all kind of get boxed up in our little corners of the world, our cubicles, our desks, whatever it may be. But to bust out of that every once in a while and just sit and be in nature and really take in all of God's creation. I mean, it's an enduring principle of ours, the sacredness of creation. I mean, this is something that we actually believe in Community of Christ, which is really exciting. So thank you, Kevin. I've loved this conversation. It's been really good. And again, has made me reflect on my own relationship with God and the great outdoors.
You bet. Well, thanks for asking me. And I'm glad to be a part of the Project Zion community. And I'm a big fan. And you guys are doing just great, great things.
Well, thanks for lending your voice to the myriad of episodes that we've done so far.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.